Mahomes, shotgun snap, drops back five, got the block. They come on the side, he winds up, he throws a long pass, wide open Hill, catches the ball at the 22 in San Francisco. What a play by Mahomes!
NFL Live, weekdays at 7 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Presented by Easton Roofing and Miller Lite.
Kansas City has won their first Super Bowl in 50 years. 50 years, a lifetime.
Hello and welcome to another edition of NFL Live KC on your home for the National Football League. Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Nate Bucati with you on a Monday as we are getting closer and closer to football in 2020. At least we hope. The way things are going right now, the teams are ramping up their acclimation process and getting ready for full-fledged training camp. Although we don't get to see much of it these days, everything's behind closed doors. We are getting access to players via Zoom teleconferences and coaches like Andy Reid. Of course, that's coming tomorrow morning, so we'll have some more information from the Chiefs side of things coming up in the next couple of days. But we certainly have a lot of news and notes and information to get to you coming up on the show today. For the next hour, we'll be breaking down the NFL like no one else can right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You are going to hear from the one and only Adam Schefter, who breaks down all the news across the league better than anybody on ESPN. We're going to hear from former Jets defender Bart Scott about a situation with another prominent player opting out in the NFL. We're going to hear from Tim Hasselbeck on the concept of playing in a bubble. Is that a realistic possibility for the NFL? We're also going to hear from Adam Teicher from ESPN.com. Of course, he joins myself and Stephen St. John on the Border Patrol every Monday morning. We'll hear from Sam Mellinger and others as well. So a busy show for you coming up. There's no doubt about it. Well, some of the news over the weekend coming out, of course, a lot of it is still COVID-related, unfortunately, at this point in time. And maybe the biggest news this past weekend, the fact that former Chiefs assistant coach and Super Bowl champion-winning head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Doug Peterson, has tested positive for COVID. Now, the reports right now say that he is relatively symptom-free, and he is going to go into the protocol now, of course, and we'll see where this takes us. Adam Schefter, on the news of Doug Peterson, says this will bring up some different questions for the NFL.
You've got a situation here where a head coach in season, in training camp, tests positive twice. And they send home Press Taylor, their quarterback's coach, because he's had exposure to Doug Peterson. And you wonder about the other people that have been in the building. Now, again, it's a head coach. So this changes things. Is it 10 days, 2 weeks before he's well? And first and foremost, you hope he's okay. That's the biggest thing, right? I think Doug Peterson is in his 50s, and let's hope he's okay. The sense right now is that he's doing well. And as long as everything's there, then you move on to the football standpoint. But from that standpoint, just a complicating factor. I just think it just shows you that every team in the league, just like in basketball and baseball and hockey, has to be prepared to deal with the unexpected. And it could mean losing your head coach the first couple of weeks of training camp. It could mean losing a quarterback the day before a game.
Certainly a lot still unknown when it comes to what exactly each one of these situations will mean. They're all unique. All of these leagues are trying to sort their way through these challenges right now. And one of the big challenges for the NFL would figure to be the fact that they are not planning to play in a bubble. And all we have to do is look at the professional leagues right now across the country, the ones that are in bubbles, and maybe right now the one that's playing outside of a bubble, and the challenges that they are having. You look at the NWSL, Major League Soccer, those competitions, they already completed the NWSL competition. One team had to withdraw from that as that professional women's team had a bunch of positive tests before they ever went into the bubble. Once those teams got in the bubble in Salt Lake City, they were fine. They finished their competition and had a champion. Major League Soccer is all the way to the semifinals. They had to kick a couple of teams out of the bubble who brought the coronavirus in with them. Of course, Sporting Kansas City had one player get diagnosed or test positive for COVID. They isolated that player. They isolated the team. They were able to get all the way to the quarterfinals before getting knocked out by losing a game. And there has been zero positive tests over the past 3 weeks in the Major League Soccer bubble. They are up and running in the NBA bubble. So far, it seems to be going smoothly with no positive tests. The National Hockey League, they're going with a double bubble. They've got two different places where they're keeping their players inside of the protective bubble. They just announced they issued 7,000 tests this week, not a single positive test. Meanwhile, you look at Major League Baseball outside of the bubble. They're up to two teams now who have had to be shut down because of massive outbreaks on the team. Of course, it started with the Miami Marlins. They started with four players who picked up the positive tests. And before you knew it, you were up to 19 people out of a 30-person travel party that had tested positive, and they've been shut down for the time being as they try to ramp things back up. Now we know of the St. Louis Cardinals. The news came out earlier today that they are up to 13 members of their staff. Between six players and seven staff members who have tested positive, their series with the Detroit Tigers has been put on hold. They are looking at possibly missing two series in a row, and we'll see where things go from there. We're seeing the challenges of life outside the bubble. Of course, there's a lot of stones being cast around in Major League Baseball. The commissioner trying to dump this all at the feet of the players, saying there's irresponsible behavior taking place by these players when they're going on the road. They're not staying quarantined in their hotel rooms the way that they want to. Of course, that brings up the issue of, can you realistically ask a large group of young men to stay isolated when they're not living inside an actual bubble like what we're seeing in the NBA and some of these other leagues? So that's going to be one of the big challenges for the National Football League to try to navigate. And when you see the problems that Major League Baseball is having, you might understand why people in the NFL might say, maybe we need to explore the idea of going to a bubble now. Former NFL quarterback Tim Hasselbeck says that it's a little too late at this point to shift to a bubble.
We have players that have opted out with the information that they were going to be going home. So, like, if you're a player like Dante Hightower, like, maybe you made your decision to give up making nearly $9 million this year in part because you thought, like, hey, all these players are going home and I'm going home. So, like, I think if you change the game in terms of what you are doing in terms of how you're operating in a bubble or not, well, then you've got to revisit this idea of guys opting out or not because it might influence a decision. So I don't even know that you can go back on that at this point.
When you look at it right now, over 40 players have now opted out of playing in this NFL season. Now, that's not the biggest number in the world. In fact, a lot of people say that they thought the number would be higher than it was. Of course, we're going to get to the part about the deadline here in just a moment when players really have to make that decision. But there have been some more notable names that have come out over the weekend and even today of players who have opted out. One of those players is four-time Pro Bowl linebacker for the New York Jets, C.J. Mosley. He cited family health reasons for the fact that he decided to opt out. One of his former teammates, Bart Scott, former New York Jets, says it won't be easy for the Jets to replace a player the caliber of C.J. Mosley.
He has to weigh the risk-rewards because at the end of the day, we're all individual contractors, you know, but, you know, he does lead the team in a awkward spot. I think this means that Avery Williamson is probably going to move to his natural spot. He was a guy that was on the bubble that we thought maybe would be a cap casualty because they re-signed all the people that, you know, filled in for him. So this empowers him and gives him an opportunity to build his brand and give him an opportunity to remind people that he can come back from injury. But for CJ's standpoint, you know, I think he loses something with the fans because everybody was excited about him replacing the productivity that Jamal gave them last year. We saw what he was capable of in one game, one half, where he dominated and showed that he was the best defensive player on the field. But at the end of the day, only CJ knows what's right for CJ.
Another notable opt-out from today coming from the Denver Broncos. Within the Kansas City Chiefs division, right tackle Juwan James. Now, he's a starting right tackle He cited the fact that he and his wife have a newborn son and health concerns over the coronavirus for opting out. Now, he only played 63 snaps last year for the Broncos because of a myriad of knee injuries, but he was expected by most people to be the starter going into this season for the Broncos, so that is a big loss for one of the division rivals for the Kansas City Chiefs. Meanwhile, there have been a lot of words exchanged around the NFL about whether or not they should be trying to do this outside of the bubble, and whether or not the deadline is appropriate for these players having to make this decision as to whether they're going to play in 2020 or opt out. First, on the idea of whether or not we should be playing this season in the first place, Odell Beckham Jr. was quoted in an article that just came out of the Wall Street Journal saying that the NFL shouldn't come back this season. Part of the quote, he said, quote, "We're not ready for football season, so why are we trying to push forward?" End quote. Now, that got a lot of headlines today around Twitter, and people, you know, see a headline like that, a prominent player like Odell Beckham Jr. saying something that says basically we shouldn't be playing this. Well, then Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Cleveland Browns extremely well in Cleveland, pointed out that those comments from Odell Beckham Jr. came 2 weeks ago before he saw how safe the Browns facility was, and he has no plans of opting out. Multiple sources tell me. Those are the words of Mary Kay Cabot. She tweeted that earlier today. So, you know, you can see these quotes sometimes. We have to remember that these opinions can and do change, and that when players get into the facility, we've heard from a lot of Chiefs players so far that they've been very impressed by the protocols. They feel safe once they're inside the bubble. Now, of course, this could vary from team to team as well, but it is of note. You might see a lot of people putting out there all the comments from Odell Beckham Jr. Look, they catch headlines when he says, "We shouldn't be playing. We're not ready for this. Why are we pushing forward?" That was a couple of weeks ago. And apparently, at least according to Mary Kay Cabot, he's had a change of heart after going into the facility, seeing the way the Browns are doing things. He's been impressed by what they're doing, and now he has no plans of opting out. So that certainly is of note. Meanwhile, though, and that underscores the idea, though, of why players might want a little more time to make their decision. Should they have more time to be able to opt out? And you can understand why the NFL owners would say, and GMs and coaches would say, hey, look, at some point you have to make your decision because we got to try to plan a roster around this. We got a season to get ready for. But they tried to move it up to earlier this week and possibly as early as Wednesday. New England Patriots safety, longtime captain Devin McCourty, reacted strongly against that notion, saying, quote, "I think it is an absolute joke that the NFL is changing the opt-out period, mainly because they don't want to continue to see guys opt out. I'm sure they're shocked about how many guys have opted out. I think it's terrible. I think it's BS that the league has changed that date." Well, they haven't changed it yet, and the reports are now saying that they might push that date back to Thursday or later. I reached out to Joel Corey, former NFL agent, works for CBS, and I asked him, okay, what is the punishment if a player decides not to opt out now, but then once, or decides that they want to play, but then after, let's say, a week of practice or whatever, decides that at that point they don't feel comfortable and they want to opt out. He basically said that his assumption would be that the teams could punish the players the way that it's set forth in the CBA for anyone who is not showing up for camp. So I guess you could basically be considered as a holdout if you decide not to show up for camp after you've already agreed to play in this situation. So that's going to be something that's interesting to watch. Could there be fines levied against players if they decide to go and then pull out after not opting out by the deadline? Of course, we'll find out all that as time goes on. Of course, all this also feels like a fluid situation right now. But the latest from ESPN says that the deadline for the NFL players to opt out of the 2020 season is now expected to be Thursday or Friday, and that's according to Dan Graziano of ESPN. So we will see where things go from there, how many more names will be added to that list. We're well over 40 players by now who have opted out of the 2020 season. Of course, two of those being Kansas City Chiefs, Damian Williams, the running back, and Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who was the first person to opt out in this situation. All right, we're off and running with this edition of NFL Live KC. Coming up next, we're going to replay conversation we had this morning with Adam Teicher. We'll cover that opt-out situation, plus much more. We're off and running with NFL Live KC on your home for the National Football League in Kansas City, Sports Radio 810 WHB. NFL Live KC on your home for the National Football League in Kansas City. Sports Radio 810 WHB steam rolls on. Nate Bucati with you on this Monday. And every Monday morning on the Border Patrol with myself, Stephen St. John, and Jake Gutierrez, we have a chance to chat with Adam Teicher from ESPN as camp is getting underway with the Kansas City Chiefs. But remember, the Chiefs have maybe the best active coach in the NFL. You can put him right up there with Bill Belichick, as far as I'm concerned, and Andy Reid. Andy Reid, though, is getting on in age a little bit. And I do think that's one of the questions we have for this COVID situation. Some of the older coaches in the NFL, is it safe for them? And what precautions do they have to take to make sure they don't come down with COVID? Of course, we just talked about it in the last segment, Doug Peterson, a protege of Andy Reid's, being diagnosed with COVID. Thankfully, he seems to be suffering from a very mild version of it, and at least to this point, relatively symptom-free. But that is where we started the conversation with our good buddy Adam Teicher.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, the NBA had some coaches hopped out, right? I mean, assistant coaches, but, you know, guys of certain age, they decided they didn't want to be part of what the NBA had going. And I thought maybe you were going to see that in the NFL, maybe. The NFL, obviously not in a bubble, but, you know, maybe they decided that they didn't want to be part of this. But there's been none of that. But so it is kind of concerning when a coach gets it. And, you know, it's interesting, the distinction between a coach and a player right now, because if a coach, I mean, the Eagles said that Doug Peterson tested positive. Well, when a player goes on the COVID-19 list, you don't know whether he was just in contact with somebody who has tested positive or whether he actually tested positive. So with Doug Peterson, we know. So, yeah, it is a little bit concerning. But, again, like you say, we had to know this was coming. I mean, this was something that the league expected to happen, here we go.
Now we're going to get into some comments from Devin McCourty in a second, but 42 players, I think, is the latest number that have opted out. When you say that we had to know this was coming, do you think the NFL expected it to be this many? Is this a lot or not a lot? What does 42 say to you?
How could you not know that there was going to be players who opted out? I mean, if this is news to the NFL, I don't think they're really paying much attention here. So, no, I don't think 42 is a high number at all. That's less than I would have expected. I was expecting maybe as many as 10% of players to be opting out, because, I mean, there can be a million reasons to want to do this. And, you know, I'm the last guy to be critical of anybody's decision to play or not to play. I mean, that's a deeply personal thing. And who am I, or who is anybody else, to say, well, that's a good decision or that's a bad decision, you know? I mean, that's a personal decision. And you look at the decisions that Larry Duvernay-Tardif and Damian Williams made, and certainly, I mean, you respect both of those decisions. So, I was expecting it to be higher, to be honest with you. So if the league is alarmed by 42 guys, I just don't think they thought about this very clearly. I thought it would be higher than that, actually.
We played some of those comments from Devin McCourty in the last hour of him criticizing the NFL for attempting to move the deadline in which players can decide to opt out of the 2020 season. They're trying to move it, according to Adam Schefter, to Wednesday. And before, it was going to be 1 week from 1 week after the new collective bargaining agreement was officially signed. And so now moving it up to Wednesday, and Devin McCourty did not agree with that and says that that doesn't give players, if they're reporting Monday, some of the players reporting Monday, just doesn't give them enough time, and they want more time to make the decision. What was your reaction to Devin McCourty's criticism of the NFL trying to move that deadline?
Well, that's one thing I don't understand is to me, I don't get what the fuss is about. I mean, you know, we've known this was coming for a while. I mean, COVID's been with us for a while. Players knew that there was going to be an opt-out option. I'm not sure why you haven't made a decision by now. I feel like, you know, the train is rolling down the tracks here, and you know, teams have to get ready, and they do need to know who's in and who's out, you know. I mean, heck, it's been more than way more than a week. I mean, maybe a week and a half now since we knew about Duvernay-Tardif. So, you know, that was maybe the first guy who, you know, made it public. But it's been a while now. I think players have had a time to make this decision. I think in most cases it's probably a very difficult decision. I get that completely. But now it's time to play or not to play, and I don't get that. I that sounds a little bit to me like entitled athlete coming from Devin McCourty, as opposed to this is a real concern. I kind of get it, that it's time to play or not to play now. And
do you read anything into McCourty, obviously being a New England Patriot, and eight members of the Patriots have already opted out, and here he is saying that he's not sure what he's going to do, and he's the one that's been very outspoken complaining about the moving up the opt-out deadline. What do we read into that with the Patriots organization?
I don't know. Maybe guys are seeing Patriots are seeing a decimated team and saying they don't want to be part of this. I find that hard to believe, particularly when there's so much money on the line. But, I don't know. I mean, it's just kind of a crazy thing. But I feel like there's just been enough time. You've had your time to make the decision, and now you need to either play or not play.
Just to play devil's advocate on that, Adam, they're at the point in camp right now where they're not actually – I mean, I guess they're on the field now doing some team activities, right? But they're not doing full training sessions yet. I don't know how to describe what they're at right now. What if a player said, "Look, I'd like to see how this all goes before I make my decision. I'd like to maybe have a couple practices and actually witness it to see what my comfort level is." Is that a fair? I'm just trying to put myself in his perspective and see if that might be a reason to say you need more time.
Well, yeah, I can respect that. I mean, yeah, I see what you're saying. I get your point, and that's maybe a point that I hadn't considered fully. You know, but when I said what I said, I sort of was leaning on this. You know, we've heard from a number of Chiefs players, including Patrick Mahomes, including Travis Kelce. You know, both those guys have said they felt better about what's going on here after their first visit into the facility. You know, that they sort of were a little bit apprehensive about going back to work in this kind of environment. But now they see what it's like, and they said, well, you know, this is going to be better than I thought. And I can't say that's the way it is for every Chiefs player. I can't say it's that way for every team around the league. You know, maybe some of the protocols aren't quite as confidence-inducing maybe for other teams as they are here. But, you know, so that's why I kind of said what I said, that it's time now to make a decision or not. But you make a good point. I mean, that maybe does deserve some that does deserve to push the deadline back. But I just feel like it's been long enough now that where you've kind of known that you've had a lot of time to make this decision. And you should probably either play or not play at this point.
I'm not being critical of your comment. Trust me, I don't. What made me think of it actually is I think a lot of us that are parents right now we have a deadline to decide, are we going to do virtual learning for our kids? Are we going to send them to school? And I know at least for us and a lot of the people I've talked to have said, man, it's kind of hard to make that decision when you don't even really know what school's going to look like. You know, you read the stuff. And they tell you what the precautions are, but until your kid actually goes to school and you find out how many other kids are in the classroom, all that, it's just hard to, you know, it's hard to make that decision. And I think you make a good point, too. Like to Steven's point about the fact that the Patriots have had eight guys, I wonder if it feels completely, like if you go into the Chiefs training facility, I wonder if it might not feel completely different than if you go into the Jags training facility. You know what I mean? Like the players might all have different different feelings on, man, this doesn't seem as buttoned up as I feel like it should be, or this seems really buttoned up. I just wonder how different it is even from team to team.
Yeah, no, that very well could be a thing. You know, I haven't paid attention. Maybe you're hearing some of the same comments from other teams that we heard from guys like Mahomes and Kelce about how they feel pretty comfortable in the facility. But, you know, I can't believe the Chiefs are so far ahead of the curve in that regard, way ahead of anybody else, that they're making their players comfortable when no one else is. You know, I've seen some of those videos put out by various teams about the protocols. The Chiefs put one out about some of the things they're doing. You know, the Lions put one out. Some of the other teams have done that. And, you know, it looks pretty similar to me. But, hey, maybe I don't, you know, behind the curtain, maybe there are some differences. But, you know, you bring up a good point, Nate, and that's something that I hadn't fully considered. But I just feel like at some point you have to be in or you're out, and you have to make it known. And you're right, the Chiefs have been ahead of everybody else. You know, I feel like the Chiefs have been here for a while now, but they've been here 3 days more than everybody else. You know, and teams are just kind of getting into it. So the Chiefs have been into it for a little while because they start ahead of everybody else. So you know, maybe Wednesday is a little bit of a rush, but I just feel like it has to happen sometime. And you can't push this thing down the road forever, I feel like.
Adam Teicher's our guest. All right, Adam, you mentioned LDT and Damien Williams. It seems like it worked out perfectly for the Chiefs. Anyone that questioned them taking a running back in the first round, now it seems like a stroke of genius to select Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Now he is thrust into an even more important role. How do you feel about the Chiefs' backfield situation without Damien Williams?
Yeah, I mean, I think this hurts. There's no question it hurts. And maybe it doesn't hurt from a front line aspect. I mean, I think if you were choosing between Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Damien Williams, you would take Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, he's younger, theoretically fresher. He's more big playability. Maybe a more dynamic player. But what happens if Clyde Edwards-Helaire gets hurt, or, you know, he just doesn't pick up he isn't ready to go like rookies sometimes aren't ready to go for a full load. What happens then? Do you feel pretty good about what the Chiefs have? I mean, they got some guys who can play. I mean, I like Darrell Williams and DeAndre Washington and even Darwin Thompson. I mean, but if those guys have to carry the load, you feel good about winning a championship with one of those guys? I mean, I think, you know, they could help the Chiefs win a game here, a couple games there. But if they have to be the featured back over the course of the season, Damien Williams has done that. He helped the Chiefs win a Super Bowl, had some big games for them in the playoffs and at other times in his career. So you know that Damien Williams can deliver. He's never done it over a long period of time, a full season, but he's done it in bursts where you know that he can do that kind of thing if you needed him to fill in. But now I'm not crazy about the Chiefs' depth at running back. I'm wondering whether they won't go out and try to find a guy at this point. So we'll see. But I think that's where it really hurts is from a depth standpoint, because now the pressure is really on Edwards-Helaire to deliver. And I think I told you guys last week, remember we were talking about Willie Gay, and I said I thought the Chiefs needed a bigger rookie season from Willie Gay than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Well, now I've changed my mind on that now in the light of the Damien Williams news. Now Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a bigger factor, needs to be a bigger factor for the Chiefs than he was, or than Willie Gay does.
Okay, it sounds like you're going to tell me I'm way too cocky from a Chiefs perspective about this then, but my answer is, it sure seems like Andy Reid's able to go find any running back off the scrap heap that fits his system, and they plug in and they produce. I mean, Spencer Ware, they went out and got Charcandrick West, they got production out of. Damien Williams, you talk about he has production now, but I mean, he'd never rushed for over 500 yards in a season. He wasn't considered a bell cow back before he got into Andy Reid's system. And then it seems like when they go out and draft a running back relatively high like Kareem Hunt, he blows the doors off of everything. Am I too confident in Andy Reid and his system to think that he can just go out and find a running back that can fit in and be productive enough for them?
You're always too cocky, Nate. That's one of the things right. I don't like about you. So.
That's exactly right.
Just one of the things.
You know him very well.
Just one of the things you don't like about me.
it's on a pretty long list. So,
Fair enough.
Now, to get to your real point here, there's merit in what you say. You just got to be careful with that, you know? You know, you got to be careful. You're trying to win a Super Bowl here. You're not trying to go 8-8, or you know, you're trying to win a Super Bowl. And You know, I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be fine, but, you know, we've talked about what a difficult year this is going to be for all rookies, you know, without OTAs and all that, and so we'll see how he adapts. You know, is it reasonable to expect him to come in and just be Kareem Hunt right off the bat? I don't know. I mean, I think that's a little bit in this year of all years. Like, you know, he's not going to have a preseason. I think in this year of all years, I think it's a lot to ask of a guy. So, you know, I feel like Andy Reid can make it work. I mean, he's done it. You're right. I mean, he's taking guys off the scrap heap, guys like Spencer Ware and Damian Williams. I mean, those guys have played well, even Charkandrick West for a short period of time. So, you know, guys have done that for him. And but you're talking about, A, winning a Super Bowl, and, B, you're talking about maybe having to do it over a long period of time, and we just don't know. So, you know, I know that was a blow to the Chiefs. I mean, they certainly respect Damian Williams' decision here, but this is not what they counted on. This is not part of the plan. So I'm curious to see how they operate going forward.
All right, so there's Adam Teicher. And, of course, yes, there will be question marks for the Chiefs at the running back position. They certainly got to feel good about things, having drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round. The faster he can pick up the offense, the better they'll be. And certainly you don't want to lose a player like Damian Williams, the ability that he showed in the last couple of postseasons. But something tells me they're going to be all right at the running back position here in 2020. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Sam Mellinger. He joined myself and Stephen St. John on the morning show as well as we continue with NFL Live KC on your home for the National Football League in Kansas City. Sports Radio 810 WHB presented by Miller Lite. NFL Live KC is presented by the Great Taste of Miller Lite. Hello, this is Nate Bucati with you on a Monday morning as we continue to pump you full of NFL information as we get closer and closer to the National Football League being back with us. And we're in training camp right now, and we're still trying to find out who's going to be there and who's not going to be there. Told you earlier about the back and forth between the NFL and the NFL Players Association about a firm deadline for when players have to make their decision as to whether or not they're going to opt out or stay in for this 2020 season. Already well over 40 players have gone ahead and decided to opt out, but some players still weighing their decisions right now. And longtime captain of the New England Patriots, Devin McCourty, weighed in on this today. I'm going to play the comments from Devin McCourty for you and then get the reaction from Sam Mellinger of the Kansas City Star as he joined myself, Stephen St. John, and Jake Gutierrez this morning to talk about some of these issues. We'll start off by hearing what Devin McCourty had to say.
I think it's an absolute joke that the NFL is changing the opt-out period mainly because they don't want to continue to see guys opt out. I'm sure they're shocked about how many guys have opted out. But it's the same thing when we sign a CBA. Sometimes some of those things that we think are good sometimes backfire. You know, we have rookies who are locked in long-term contracts and tagged. You guys don't think we would love to change that about the CBA, but we can't. That's the point of signing an agreement. So I think it's terrible. I think it's BS that the league has changed that date. Because you guys know Monday will be our first day in the building. So to try to act like guys are making a decision about something other than virtual meetings is a joke. But I think it's something that we go through as players. And when players understand how much power we have, we've seen things change for us. I mean, primarily even with this deal, with the COVID-19, trying to get everything back, we saw some of that strength. So hopefully we'll see how everything turns out come Wednesday if that ends up being the deadline. But I support the guys no matter what they decide. But I'm still out here having fun and figuring things out. So we'll see how we go.
And he said he still hasn't made his decision yet. What do you think of the NFL trying to move that deadline for players to make a decision to this Wednesday?
Look, I agree with all of my heart and soul with the point he made about players not having the balance of power between players and the league and the NFL is so completely out of whack when you look at other sports. It's unbelievable, and I do think that we're seeing the beginning of that changing. Now, I apologize, like up front here, if I'm putting you guys on the spot. I should know the answer to this, and I don't. But what happens if a player decides to opt out on Thursday? What you know, like,
Hamaya,
is there a financial penalty or like what's the deal?
I would assume first of all, there's the you get. If you opt out right now, you get the $150,000 advance on next year's salary. I would assume that's completely gone. And then I don't know the answer to this, but I wonder, do you get fined the way you do if you don't show up to camp? Are there financial penalties in addition to just not getting paid? I'm not sure the answer to that. I'll have to try to find more information on that. I don't know if you know, Steven.
If it's $150,000, then I I've never turned down $150,000, but that seems reasonable to me. If it's like if you want this $150,000 advance, you got to know by Wednesday. I don't think that's like outrageous, but if it's if then you would get fined on top of that, that does seem outrageous to me. I think that if the league, whenever things are agreed upon and then one side decides to just change it because they can, I do think that that's crappy, and if we weren't on the radio, I'd probably use a different word. But I also think that they've had time to think about it. They'll have a couple days to be in the building. It's not an unreasonable situation if the consequence, and again, like, I should know the answer to this, but if the consequence is you don't get the advance, then I don't know. This is, look, I'm very much on side of the players. I think you guys know that. But this is not a situation where I'm going to, throw my hands up in the air and say, this is outrageous.
There's the take of Sam Mellinger, and with the question that he asked about what happens to you if you're a player and you decide to go ahead and back out of playing in the NFL after the opt-out date. In other words, what does that drop-dead date mean? I asked Joel Corey. He's been a great guest of ours several times from CBS, former NFL agent. His response to me was, quote, "I would assume that a team would have all of the rights and remedies typically available when a player withholds contractually obligated services under ordinary circumstances." So I guess that basically means like holding out. So I asked him, does that mean, you're looking at possible fines and things like that we hear about players receiving when they don't show up for training camp? He said, quote, "Yes, but the new CBA has progressive discipline for finable offenses where a warning sometimes occurs first." So if you're a player and you decide, man, I've been in practice for a few days and I don't feel comfortable about this, I want out and I'm not going to show up tomorrow, they can first warn you and then possibly fine you, and you're going to deal with some real consequences. So that's why the players are negotiating right now with the National Football League on pushing that date back as far as possible. But of course, the NFL wants to know who's going to be there and who's not. If you're a coach, if you're a GM, you want to know what your roster is going to look like as much as possible getting ready for the regular season. Right now, according to ESPN, it looks like we're looking at a cutoff date of Thursday or Friday for the players to make up their decisions on this situation. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to check in with Josh Briscoe. He's going to check in on all of the different NFL sound and guests we've had on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Get you caught up to date on all of that in case you missed it throughout the day. Right after this, it's NFL Live KC presented by Miller Lite. NFL Live KC on your home for the National Football League. Sports Radio 810 WHB continues, presented by the great taste of Miller Lite. Let's get you caught up on anything you might have missed NFL related on Sports Radio 810 WHB through the course of today with our man, the one and only, the bellicose Josh Briscoe.
Thank you, Nate. It sounds like we're really sticking with the bellicose Briscoe thing, and frankly, like, I at least needed a wrestling name, so I'm totally good with it. Here's what I'll say. You've done an excellent job tonight making sure nobody missed anything in the NFL world from 8:10 here today. So here's what I'll tell you that you could be missing if you're not paying attention tonight after this show. Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest will join us at 9 o'clock on Almost Entirely Sports, which starts at 8 o'clock, goes till 11 this evening. And we're going to talk about a bunch of Chiefs stuff. I'm interested in, like, the NCAA players and what they're doing right now, but that's not NFL Live. That's NCAA Football Live. We'll talk about some things on the Chiefs side as they get continuing here in their training camp, their very strange training camp. We're in a really interesting point where there's not a ton of big, like, front-end storylines for the Chiefs other than, COVID and winning the Super Bowl again. So we're going to talk to Matt tonight about what actually is still out there and what is honestly still interesting. Like, what are we supposed to be paying attention to strictly from the Chiefs' perspective, plus around the rest of the league? As you've talked about some tonight, there's still a lot going on, and we'll tap into that a little bit over the course of AES tonight as well. But I didn't have a lot of time here to talk to you tonight. I know you got more NFL Live KC coming up next. I'll give it back to you.
Of course, you can always catch Josh Briscoe at 8 o'clock right after this NFL Live KC show on Almost Entirely Sports, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll be back to wrap things up on NFL Live KC right after this, presented by Miller Lite. NFL Live KC is presented by the great taste of Miller Lite right here on your home for the National Football League in Kansas City. Sports Radio 810 WHB, Nate Bucati with you as we wrap things up. Look, there's been a lot of news today. It seems like there is pretty much every day in the world of sports, and the NFL is no exception between opt-out dates, players opting out, coaches testing positive for COVID. We're going to recap from all of it from a man who's on top of all of those things. Adam Schefter from ESPN, he was on ESPN Radio today, and he started off by talking about the news of Doug Peterson testing positive for COVID.
Here is the first curveball to the NFL as it battles COVID-19, and I say that because you've got a situation here where a head coach in season, in training camp, tests positive twice, and they send home Press Taylor, their quarterback's coach, because he's had exposure to Doug Peterson, and you wonder about the other people that have been in the building. Now, again, it's a head coach, so this changes things. Is it 10 days, 2 weeks before he's well? And first and foremost, you hope he's okay. That's the biggest thing, right? I think Doug Peterson is in his 50s, and let's hope he's okay. The sense right now is that he's doing well. And as long as everything's there, then you move on to the football standpoint. But from that standpoint, just a complicating factor. I just think it just shows you that every team in the league, just like in basketball and baseball and hockey, has to be prepared to deal with the unexpected. And it could mean losing your head coach the first couple of weeks of training camp. It could mean losing a quarterback the day before a game. It could mean losing a key player at a key moment. That's just the way it is, and that's the way the whole season is going to be. And the Eagles are really the first team that has to handle this in this kind of basis. But, again, over the weekend we saw the Detroit Lions starting quarterback, Matthew Stafford, placed on the COVID-19 reserve list. We saw the Jaguars place their starting quarterback, Gardner Minshew, on the reserve COVID-19 list. And so that, which means, by the way, it doesn't mean they have it, but it means either they have it or they've been exposed to it. And so this is something that every team is going to be dealing with all year long if we're fortunate enough to have football.
Shefty, we were just talking about this, like, okay, it's, you know, for Doug Peterson, it's missing some training camp and, mm-hmm. you know, your head coach is sort of the macro. Are there any protocols of, like, this is midseason and let's say this is Byron Leftwich that this happened to. If you're doing contract tracing, do you then have to quarantine Tom Brady? I mean, what does that look like and how are teams sort of managing that idea?
I think everybody is figuring this out as it goes along. Now, let me just say this, that every team in the league has had to go out and turn in a medical plan. Like, that is nothing new. When you look at it, each team was required by the NFL to develop their IDR plan, IDER, the Infectious Disease Emergency Response Plan, get everything organized, and turn it into the NFL. I just think that, yeah, you could lose. That's the one thing that I've heard, like, from people around the league. What happens if, hypothetically, a team loses its entire offensive line right before a game?
Right.
And I guess the only thing I'd say is, look, whatever situation you could imagine something that's even different than that, and imagine that there's not going to be competitive balance, and imagine there's going to be unexpected circumstances. And in the past, we've always talked about, well, can this team overcome the loss of this particular player or this particular circumstance? Again, those are just going to be regular occurrences, and that's going to be the way it is going to be all year long. And like I said, the Eagles are going to find out now about how to deal with it, and the Lions and Jaguars in their own way are finding out how to deal with it. And by the way, every team in the league is like every – I think every team in the league has had players on the COVID-19 list. We've seen a number of players opt out, so players have lost key players at key spots. That continues to happen before camp even begins. And, oh, by the way, we should also add that they really haven't had any strenuous on-field work, which is spelled out in the collective bargaining agreement. That won't happen until later this month. And when that happens, after an inactive off-season of no OTAs and no early training camp, you hope that, and that's the idea of the ramp-up period that the NFLPA had put in, that it acclimates these players to getting back to football and that there's not this outbreak of injuries, soft tissue injuries, that sometimes accompany periods of without football, like in 2011 during the lockout when teams got back to camp and there were a rash of torn Achilles.
We're talking to ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. Schefter, you've said a couple of times to just expect the unexpected. I don't think anybody could have expected so many opt-outs for the Patriots, particularly eight at this point. Is there anything that you can figure out that ties these together on why they've had so many more opt-outs than other teams in the league?
I know everybody's looking for an explanation, but I just think that you've got a couple of things. Dont'a Hightower has a mother who's type 2 diabetic. He just became a father. Patrick Chung is about to become a father. Marquise Lee, has concerns, and I don't know that he would have made the team. He's on the roster bubble. Everybody's got a different circumstance behind their decision to opt out. I just think it happens to be that in New England, it's just all grouped together. It just flares up and comes in a group there. I don't think there's anything where these players have had meetings and let's all opt out and that's the situation. Just think it's an individual choice. Everybody in the league has to make it. And so far, I think it's, eight players from New England have made that decision.
So basically, sorry, Internet, it's not tanking for Trevor, is what you're saying.
That was the funny thing, is last week, and I mean, this actually happened, where an NFL executive sent me a text. He goes, what is Bill Belichick doing up there in New England? I go, what do you mean? And he goes, I'm trying to figure it out. Like, that's how some of the people in the league think, because they're just watching what goes on in Foxborough, waiting to see if Bill Belichick is plotting or masterminding something.
Schefty, you mentioned the Patriots, you mentioned opt-outs. Before we let you go, I have to ask you, Devin McCourty ripping the league yesterday for attempting to move the deadline in which players can decide whether or not they want to opt out for the 2020 season. It was supposed to be a week from when they signed the agreement. It's reportedly from you now Wednesday. Why would the league decide to do this? And does Devin McCourty have a point?
Well, again, I'm sure a lot of people are not pleased about it. And I don't know all the specifics, but I'm just hypothesizing in this regard. They reached that agreement the previous Friday. The opt-out period was designed to be 1 week after they signed it, and they still haven't signed it yet. Now, I don't know what's taking long. I know it's complicated and tricky to get through, and I'm sure there's a lot of lawyers that have to read it over. But if you're the NFL, from that standpoint, at some point you have to say, look, we've got to move forward here. We've got to get an answer. And so players already have had over a week. They'll have until, I think, at least Wednesday, although that's not final, but that sounded to me as if it was the direction it was going yesterday. And I understand some players have the right to be upset, but the league also has to put a deadline on this, because I think the longer this goes on, the more players are opting out. And the more players see other players opting out, the more players think about it. And the league has got to say, look, either you're in or you're out. And it's your choice. If you want to be in, you're in. And if you're not, you're out. And that's the way it goes.
So there it is. Opt in, opt out. It looks like it's going to be Thursday or Friday, the deadline for players to make that decision. We got a lot of Chiefs sound coming up through the course of this week. Don't forget to stay tuned tomorrow morning to Sports Radio 810, the Border Patrol with myself, Stephen St. John, and Jake Gutierrez, as at just about 9 o'clock, a little after 9 o'clock, Big Red, Andy Reid, is going to address the media via Zoom from training camp. We'll get some players as well. We'll carry it all live for you right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Starting to ramp up, getting a little more action from the Chiefs coming up. And hopefully we'll stay COVID-free and we'll keep things rolling forward. That's going to do it for this edition of NFL Live KC. Almost entirely sports with Josh Briscoe is coming up next.